Now, no one likes it when they're deceived by someone, taken for a ride by someone. My family and I have just recently had to negotiate the London property market, and perhaps somewhat foolishly, I put my sort of full trust in the estate agents. I thought, I've got a young family, got a wife, got two kids, they'll have my well-being in mind. And I can tell you, I was deceived. The rental market is brutal. Some of the estate agents would just cover up some of the, wouldn't give you the full picture about a property. There were these hidden fees, admin fees, 400 quid we had to pay. We're the ones doing the renting. Little stuff in the small print of the contract, which, you know, I just assumed was standard practice. It wasn't. We're still trying to work it out. You know, I'm not sure if you've experienced something like that. You know, when you're taken for a ride, when you're deceived by something, you know, it's horrible. None of us likes it. Of course, in this situation, it was just a bit of money. We've learned our lesson. When it comes to Jesus Christ, when it comes to who he really is, what he is really about, here is one thing that we do not want to be deceived about. God has given us this chapter, chapter 2, so that you and I, we would not be deceived about Jesus Christ. In particular, we would not be deceived about his return, his future return, wherever we're coming from this morning. It is vital that we get this right, that we know the truth. And the passage, it's very stark, this passage. I'm not sure if you noticed it when it was read. It lays out before us just two paths, two destinies. One is the path of deception leading to destruction. One is the path of truth leading to glory. Two paths, two destinies. It's pretty obvious the one we should all be on. And so we need to make sure that we are. Okay, let's look at the first, deception, destruction. If you look at verse 2 on page 1189, you see that the context for this letter, the context of Paul writing to the church, is that some prophecy, can you see in verse 2, some teaching, some prophecy, some word of mouth, letter, supposedly coming from the apostles, has arrived in this church saying that the day of the Lord, the return of Jesus, has already come. Okay, they're being deceived about it. Now, today I imagine that's not really where we're from. We're not sort of tempted to be deceived he's already come. We're probably tempted to be deceived that he's never going to come because it's been 2,000 years and where is he? But whether it's thinking he has already come back then, thinking he's not yet come today, Paul's answer is the same in verse 3. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. For that day will not come until the rebellion occurs. Okay, the day is coming, that's for sure, but it won't come until this rebellion comes. This man of lawlessness is revealed. Now, what is this talking about? What's this rebellion? Who's this man? What's going on? Well, notice first from the verses that he is the man of lawlessness. So he is a real person. He's described as the man of lawlessness, of sin. He's someone who is opposed to God. And in verse 4 at the end there, we see he proclaims himself to be God. He pretends to be God. He's a deceiver. And so Paul is saying that before Jesus Christ is revealed, before he comes back, this man needs to be revealed, this deceiver. And verse 9 just unpacks this a little bit more, this deception, because he comes, verse 9, do you see, in accordance with how Satan works, the ultimate deceiver. He's going to use all sorts of displays of power that serve the lie. Verse 10, deceives those who are perishing. Pretense, lies, deceit. Do we see that Jesus can't come back yet till this guy comes back, this great deceiver, a great deception is coming, leading people to destruction. Here's the scary thing for us. Verse 7. The secret power of lawlessness, this deception, is already at work. This deceit is already here, around us, now. Here's some examples. Jesus was just a good man who died tragically young. Deceit. There are many ways to God. And Jesus is just one of them. Deceit at work now. When you die, that's it. We just put in the grave, we rot. There's no heaven or hell, we can't see it. Where is it? Deceit at work. I'm a good person, so if there is a God, I'll be okay. Doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you are sincere. Jesus can't come back until this man of lawlessness comes back, this deceiver, yet this deception is already at work now. Deception, pretense, lies. People back then were being potentially taken in by it with these reports, these prophecies that Jesus has come back already. People are being deceived, taken in by it today, thinking Jesus didn't exist, he's not going to come back. And this is very, very serious, because verse 10 talks about those perishing who are deceived by it. Verse 12 speaks of those being condemned. But God gives us these verses so we're not deceived. So we don't go down this path of deception and destruction. Now, my children, they're age 3 and 1. They're at that age now where I can pretty much tell them anything and they'll believe it. Daddy can do no wrong. It's quite empowering. It feels quite good. But, you know, as a parent, you know, you've got your responsibility to tell him the truth, to not lie to them. I've got one friend, one dad. I'm not sure if this is true, if it really does, but he tells me that sometimes when the ice cream van comes along, he tells his children that when the music plays, that means the ice cream has run out. You know, and his kids, they just suck it up. They say, well, Daddy's right. He tells the truth. You know, whatever parents tell him, when it comes to Jesus Christ, all of us actually are the same by nature in that we just suck up lies about him. The culture around us, the world around us, Jesus is not real. Jesus is just a man. He just died a normal death. Resurrection? Come on. Just suck it up. We're like little kids. And these verses are a warning to us all, wherever we're coming from. Do not be deceived. Do not let anyone deceive you in any way. And please, can I say that, you know, this is a real danger? I know this sounds far-fetched, but as you read through the whole of Scripture, we see that the devil who's behind this man of lawlessness, the great enemy of God, his main tactic is deception. So all the way back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, what's he doing? Did God really say? And they were deceived. And they were sinless, Adam and Eve. He's deceiving people now with a secret power of lawlessness. He's going to deceive people at the end with this man of lawlessness. Deception, deception, deception by nature. We all just suck it up. And that is why we need Jesus Christ. Why we need to turn to Jesus Christ, listen to Jesus Christ, see the truth that he reveals. Because Jesus Christ is the only one who can unmask it and expose the lies. So you think of Jesus in the wilderness, period of temptation, and he threw back these lies of the devil with the truth of Scripture. And you see in verse 8 as well, this incredible image of this lawless one being revealed, and then Jesus Christ overthrows him with just the breath of his mouth. And he gets destroyed. It's like when my little one's blowing out a birthday candle. He goes, poof, and he's gone. Jesus is the truth who can expose the lies, unmask the deception. It's great. The heart of the Christian message is this, that 2,000 years ago, God himself came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ to reveal himself fully and finally so we would not be deceived about God. Here I am. This is who I am. This is how you know I exist. Look at me. Not just that, he comes to earth to die for us so we would not be deceived about ourselves, that we're not good, that we're not just going to walk into heaven. We need a savior. We need forgiveness. Not just that, he rises from the dead so we won't be deceived about the future. Jesus Christ is alive. He is in charge. He is coming back. There is a judgment. There is heaven and hell. Jesus reveals the truth. He exposes the lies around us. He unmasks this deception. We said at the start, no one likes it when you're deceived, when someone deceives you, when you're taken for a ride. And God does not want that happening to us. These are stark verses, but they're given to us as a warning. So can I say, if you've not looked into the message of Jesus at much, do it. And now's the time to do it. Grab a Bible, take one with you, come along to church, speak to a Christian friend, so you're not deceived, so you can hear the truth. And, we should say, I know there are a lot of people out there today just telling us it's just a load of rubbish. I often find in conversations with people, when you sort of push them on what they think Jesus is about and what they think's rubbish, they've just actually not understood the message of Jesus at all. So, and I speak for myself here. This is what I was like for the first 21 years of my life. I thought, yeah, I know it all. I know about Jesus. It's about being good, isn't it? And I'm pretty good, so I'm all right, so I don't need it. I had it completely wrong. I was deceived. And so the challenge is, you know, not to presume that we know it all. The challenge is to look into the claims of Jesus as they're written here in Scripture. Ask your questions, seek your answers. We're busy with work, I know. But there is nothing more important than this. It is the difference between life and death, heaven and hell. Do not be deceived. Do not let anyone deceive you in any way. Now, that's the first path. The second path is this. It's the path of truth and glory. Because in verses 13 to 17, there's this some sort of like shift, change of direction, change in tone. We go from deception to truth, from destruction to glory. And you read verses 13 to 17, and they're wonderfully encouraging verses for those who trust in Jesus Christ, believe the truth. And so, you know, when you hear of stories of people being taken for a ride, and you heard me talking about the estate agent, you know, or being lied to as a child, or if an employer, you know, takes you for a ride, you don't want that, you don't like it, and you think to yourself, you know, I wonder if that's going to happen to me, and what if I get taken in by it? We don't want to. And Paul writes these verses to the Thessalonians, saying to them, you know, in this context of deception, destruction, if they're trusting in Jesus Christ, if they're standing firm, holding to the truth about him, they're absolutely safe. They have nothing to worry about. And verse 13, let me just read that out, because that tells us why. Paul says, but we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. One of the wonderful things about becoming a Christian, putting your trust in Jesus Christ, is you discover that God himself, all three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, Spirit, are powerfully, lovingly at work in you. Did you notice that just in verse 13? So we see at the beginning, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. To be a Christian is to have a love that will never let you go. Not just that, we see in the next bit that to be a Christian is to have a relationship that is absolutely secure because God chose you as first fruits, or as the translation at the bottom of B says, you know, from the beginning. We're absolutely secure in God's hands. Not just that, to be a Christian is to have this almighty power at work in you, this sanctifying work of the Spirit. Loved by God the Son, chosen by God the Father, sanctified by God the Holy Spirit. Do you see all three persons of the Trinity at work in you? I can tell you, if God's at work in you, in your life, with you, you've got nothing to worry about. Absolutely secure. In his hands. You won't be deceived. It's all okay. And verse 14 says that actually, not just that, he's doing all this and he's called you through his gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that sounds good. What does it mean? I've got a picture for you just to help us understand this. There we are. Now, this is a picture of the 2003 England rugby team winning the World Cup. There they are holding up the Webb Ellis Trophy, arm in arm, celebrating, happy, joyous. And you can think about it, right? There's no more blood, sweat, tears now. Medals around their neck. They've done it. I think their family is sort of behind them, just joining them. And it's just a wonderful day, and it's a wonderful occasion. What joy, what happiness as they're sharing together in their victory. Okay, now this is a small picture, a small glimpse, a small foretaste of what this verse means about sharing in the glory of Jesus Christ. Sharing in Jesus Christ's victory over sin. His victory over the devil, his victory over death. To share in the glory of Jesus Christ, it means that a day is coming when we will see Jesus Christ face to face in a perfect new world, this world restored to former, well, greater glories. We will love him as we should. We will love one another as we should. It's perfection, and we will share with Jesus in it. Does that make sense? It's a wonderful thing. It's the future we all long for. And it is our future if we are trusting in Jesus Christ. And Paul says this is the second path, the path of truth and glory. And so he says, verse 15, it's simple. What you need to do is stand firm amidst deception as well. Stand firm by holding fast to the teachings that we passed on to you. That's the apostles' teaching. That's what we've got recorded now in the New Testament. And of course, that's because it's here that we are reminded of the truth about Jesus Christ. You know, about the future. This is it. This is God's truth for us, to expose the lies, to unmask deception. And so we just keep reading it, keep believing it, keep trusting, keep holding on to it, standing firm in it. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I find myself going through periods of doubt or becoming unsettled, and like these Thessalonians were perhaps alarmed in your Christian walk, Christian life, more often it's because I've just taken my focus off the truth in the Bible, taken my, not reading the Bible as much as I normally do. And it's not that I don't want to, of course I do. I do want to read the Bible regularly and keep reminding myself of this truth. Just that life's busy, got lots to get done, and this is often the first thing to go. And so this is a reminder to us that truth is here amidst a culture with everything being thrown at us through the papers, the media, these lies as deceit. Here is the truth that we need. It's all here. And so in that final verse 16 and 17, when it talks about this encouragement, this hope, this strength that the Lord provides, he provides it through God's word. So we hear it all the time. Keep reading your Bible regularly. We know it, we hear it, we want to do it. The question is, are we doing it? Now get aside some time each day to remind yourself of God's work, Father, Son, Holy Spirit in you. We've got these Bible studies Tuesday morning, 7:30. Charmaine heads them up. A great way of holding to the apostolic teaching, standing firm, making sure we're on the path of truth and glory and not of deception and destruction. So these verses are a warning. They are stark, but they're also a great encouragement. We all know which path we should be on, we need to be on. And Paul is saying, you trust in Jesus Christ, you hold to the truth of Scripture, you can be absolutely sure that you're on the right path. That's what God's saying us today. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you so much for the truth of your word, the Bibles, your Scriptures, and just for the fact that you tell us the way it is, that there are these two paths, these two destinies. And thanks that you've provided everything possible in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may know the truth, not be deceived, and be on the right path. Please would you help each and every one of us to know your love, your choosing of us, your sanctifying work of the Spirit, that we may be encouraged, strengthened, and proclaim it to others and invite people to the guest service, that others may know the truth for themselves. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.